Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All right, let's go back to Psalms 27, the 27th Psalm. Please give me something a little bit more on my mic, maybe from the feedback, just if you have enough from the regular speakers. Thank you. Let's go back there to Psalm 27. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Thank you, that's so much better. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Even though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Hallelujah. Amen. When the Lord is your light, then he can be your salvation. The word light is symbolic of guidance, direction, wisdom, enlightenment, and things like that. For a few weeks now, I think it's probably this is probably the 11th or the 12th week, we've been ministering and learning and studying together divine guidance and direction. Divine guidance and direction. And the Lord has really been gracious to us. He's taught us so many things. I'm very excited as we begin to wrap this up. Over the next few weeks, we should be able to draw the curtain on this and move to something else. But in this section of it, I really would want to encourage you to pay a lot of very good attention. Because in this section, I want to give a lot of time to ministering on the channels of direction. The channels of divine guidance and the channels of divine direction. So everything else is super important. But when you get to the point of actually receiving the directions that the Lord is seeking to bring into our lives, it's really important that you incline your ears and your spirit and be able to know, okay, there is a channel here that God is using to direct me or steer me in a way that I may not even have known that's where I was supposed to go. And we have read the story of Joseph when his father sent him out to go look for his brothers. And his father told him they are in Shechem because that's where they were supposed to be. But when Joseph arrived at Shechem in Genesis chapter 37, he couldn't find his brothers. Like I said last week, sometimes life rearranges situations and life rearranges destiny. Destiny is fixed in God, but sometimes the details of it are rearranged. And it is so important that we are constantly aware of some of the delicate and some of the intrinsic ways in which God steers us. If someone had told me, beginning January 1st, 2020, that on September 27, 2020, we will be having a service like this in this room, exactly the way we are having it, I would not have believed it. I would not have believed it. However, as life has rearranged things, we recognize destiny is fixed in God, and we have constantly endeavored to follow God and walk with him and find out the new light that he's given to us so that we can properly respond to the things that are going on around us. And so even though on January 1, 2020, I had no idea on September 27, 2020, we will be in this room, I feel really good about it. I know we're in the right place at the right time. I'm just so sure. I mean, there's just so many. If you just even forget about, put aside the blessings of the Lord and put aside the so many confirmations and the things that the Holy Spirit is doing, has done in the last few days, few weeks, few months. And just even consider where we feel, where we are, where what we sense in our spirit. We're definitely in a good place with God. We're definitely in a good place with God. Of course, we have every reason to be thankful to the Lord. Today, September 27, 2020, marks exactly 20 years, exactly to the day when we arrived in the United States as missionaries. Exactly 20 days. Exactly 20 days. So we have gone back and forth and done different things over the last 20 years, gone different places, traveled different countries and all of that. But exactly 20 years ago, we called the United States home. And the Lord commenced the work that he assigned to us. And I can tell you, on September 27, 2000, I had no idea exactly what was going to be happening on September 27, 2020. I had no clue whatsoever. But looking back today, 20 years later, I'm so thankful. Wow, I'm so thankful. What a journey this has been. What a glorious journey this has been. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The Lord has been better than good. 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 The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It says then, and all other things, all these things will be added unto you. I think sometimes as believers, we make the mistake of turning that scripture around. We reverse it in the things we do. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that that's one of the greatest testimonies of our journey over the last 20 years. That scripture was never reversed for us. Amen. Has never been reversed for us. From the very beginning, it has always been, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. We had an understanding, the person who has the responsibility for adding all these things is God. That's not our job. And I think sometimes a lot of believers, out of either ignorance or not being taught or just being confused or the pressures of life, they turn around that order, and in their minds, they are going to pursue all these things first. And many of them will say to you, yeah, I will serve the Lord, but I got to get all these things first. And different people have different things that they have esteemed in their lives. As I got to get this first. But I'm so thankful that the Lord is faithful to his word. And in all these 20 years, there is not one word that the Lord spoke from the beginning that he has not fulfilled. Not one word. And we haven't gone out of our way to try to get these things. But these things have pursued us and overtaken us. Hallelujah. Oh my gosh. When I walked into the service this morning and saw people a little quiet, and you know, the praise and worship was really awesome. Man, Minister Wilma was just in a totally different level. And our other ministers. And then, of course, Pastor Emmanuel took it to another level. So they did great, but I think there was a little struggle from time to time. I'm not sure what the struggle was. But when I walked into the sanctuary, you know, I was so full. I felt like I was going to bust. Like, man, I need some angels to come in here and help me praise the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The Lord is a good God. The Lord is a good God. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I can truly tell you, the Lord has been our salvation. I don't know how many things, I don't know what we have not experienced. I don't know what we haven't dealt with in these 20 years. And I can almost assure you, you mention a challenge of life that you know anybody has dealt with, I can almost guarantee you we've dealt with it in these 20 years. Almost any. And I mean that. And yet, in spite of that, the Lord has been our salvation. He has always come through. Hallelujah. He's never been late. He's always come through. The Lord has been so good that sometimes when I get in a place of prayer, I don't even know what to ask for. I just want to bless his name. I go in some of our sanctuaries and sometimes even on the street. I just want to roll on the ground and just, Lord, you've been too much. Does anybody here know this too much God? Has anybody experienced this too much God? Woo! 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 When the Lord is your light, he is your salvation. The Lord will come through for you. The Lord will surprise you. I don't know, maybe that's part of why he has me ministering on this particular series. And I've been doing over the last 2 months. When the Lord is your light, he will be your salvation. You can count on it. I say you can count on it. Just this week, the Lord gave us some huge favors. Something I've been working on over the last, I don't know, I'll say maybe 3-4 months. And it was just one of those big things that, you know, sometimes you are even, you don't know if you want to ask the Lord about it. You just know, Lord, I trust you, take care of that. And this week, just like it was nothing, the Lord took care of it. Just like nothing. So much favor and so much grace. And so many blessings. I'm truly thankful. And with this opportunity, I really want to encourage you. No matter where you are, no matter what is going on in your life, just fix your heart on the Lord. Fix your heart on God. He's more than faithful to fulfill the words that he's spoken concerning you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We spoke to our son. When was that? Was that Thursday? And of course, you know, he's doing virtual learning. That's Edie. He's doing virtual learning. And he's spending time out there with Christine all the way in Rochester. And they're doing virtual learning together. Well, she's doing her own clinical thing, but he's staying in our home and doing virtual learning. And when we finished that conversation, and between then and now, I constantly remember the conversation, and I think, see how good the Lord has been. I think, see how good the Lord has been. They're serving the Lord. They're not going crazy. They're not on drugs. Amen. They're not doing alcohol. They're not in gangs. They're not on the streets. The pastors of the church where they are worshiping are friends of ours now, partners of our ministry. They have a bright future, glorious future. I mean, we talked to him, he was so happy. He looked so fresh. She looked so fresh. I thought, really? Seriously? You left home and you're looking this happy? Something's not right. I said, something's not right. Somebody say, freedom. That's just one of the minor of the things that the Lord has done. How many parents, years and years and years, wonder how their children will do when they leave home? I mean, there's so much you can control when you are there. But when you are not there, I mean, how do you make it happen? How do you make it happen? It's some of the things you put in them now for them to come out of service and be so excited. Start with the pastors up front. So excited about the word. And it wasn't their parents ministering the word. There's no greater joy for a parent. And to see them moving up in life. Amen. Making progress. Amen. In just a few years now, we would hardly recognize them. And to be quite honest, I almost feel like we just got started. Seriously. The other day, I can't remember what it was I was doing. I thought to myself, I was trying to wonder, what are the things that are different? I remembered, what are the things that are different between my life today and my life 20 years ago when I was in my early 30s? And I couldn't think of one. I've not lost any step. In fact, now I'm stronger. I have more energy. If you don't believe me, just come around me and spend a couple of days with me. I'm full of vision, more vision than I've ever had in my life. I'm more focused. I have more wisdom. And yet the Lord continues to renew my youth. And I'm sure it's the same thing for Pastor Tino as well. And the children have gone to start their own life. I mean, I'm just thinking, the other day I was thinking to myself, boy, Lord, where do you want us to go start new churches? Because I'm ready. So I'm ready to do what I did like 35 years ago, 30 years ago. In fact, because of the pandemic, many of you know we've had to be doing some of these little things. You know, the other day we found out, you know, we came in, the air conditioner was broken down, wasn't working. And we found out just the morning of the service. And thankfully, Pastor Emmanuel had done so much work just to get things ready. But that he wasn't aware of. And we walked in here and everywhere was so stuffy and so warm. And nothing we tried worked. So I thought we had this fan somewhere. And this fan is not as light as it looks. And I remember when I carried that fan, it was raining heavily. And I just lifted up the fan, cleaned it as quickly as I could, wiped it down, and Pastor Tino, I think, was driving out to go get some things printed for the service or something. And just lifted the fan and brought it here and set it there and turned it on. I said, okay, this is better, praise God. And I thought I would be very tired, but I was coming into the service and I was thinking, wow, I can hardly wait to preach this morning. It reminded me of 30 years ago. It reminded me of 30 years ago, where every Sunday morning, we had to load vehicles to go set up in a service. We didn't have a place of our own. 20 years ago, 18 years ago, we didn't have a place of our own. We met in either hotels or schools, and we have some of our people from Akron here. They remember some of these things from Akron. Some of the people from Cleveland are here too. They remember some of these things from Cleveland. I mean, every morning we had to load up vehicles to set up. And I think some of those times we'll even do a Cleveland service, then we'll go and do 2 o'clock service in the afternoon in Akron, do the same thing. You know, I'm missing those days. I'm feeling, Lord, I have so much energy. We got to do something with this. We got to do something with this energy, Lord. I'm missing. I'm missing. Somebody said, would you just preach the word? I am preaching the word. I am preaching the word. I'm telling you about the goodness of the Lord. I'm telling you about how faithful he is. I'm telling you about how his mighty hands will cover every area of your lives. You're waiting for me to tell you steps to being well, steps to prospering. I'm telling you the steps to prospering. To walking with the light of God. So that God can be your salvation. To being faithful. To being diligent in business. To put your hands to the plow and not look back. To seek the kingdom of God first and expect every other thing to be added to you. In every area of your life. Every area of your life. So I am preaching to you this morning. I hope your spiritual ears are open to hearing. David said, well, one thing I desire of the Lord, in verse 4, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Let me just say this a little bit more here. There's some people who consider it a burden serving God. All over the world, I've met them. You know, I've done, served the Lord now across continents. There are people who consider serving God a burden. They consider like every little thing they do, that's huge. Let me tell you, serving the Lord is the best thing you can do in your life. Serving the Lord in any way you do, whether physically, in person, through your finances, your giving, through volunteering for, serving the Lord is the best, absolute best thing you can do in your life. Serving the Lord is great medicine. There are people in hospitals looking for remedies. Serving the Lord is great medicine. Serving the Lord will keep you strong and healthy. Serving the Lord will keep you blessed. Serving the Lord will keep you prosperous. Will cause all your needs to be met. Serving the Lord will make abundance surround you. There are people who think serving the Lord is a burden. People think going to church, that's long before COVID. You know, I think once COVID came, it was like, glory to God, I got a break from church. Not abundant life people. Abundant life people are different. Amen. But, there's some people think going to church, that's a burden. It's not a burden. I can hardly wait to get in the presence of God. And I don't care what is there. We can do church, enjoy the presence of God, regardless of who or what is there. See, the most important thing is the presence of God. Bible says in his presence, there's fullness of joy. There's life forevermore. Life! Serving the Lord is the best thing you can do. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The theme for our 18th anniversary next month, at the end of next month, our 18th year, 18th anniversary celebration for Abundant Life. Give me this mountain. I was recently studying Joshua. Joshua was 85 years old. Someone say 85. 85. 85. And he said to Caleb. Did I say Joshua? Caleb, I mean. Help me, Holy Spirit. And Caleb said to Joshua, 40 years ago, God made a promise to me. And he said, today, 45 years later, I'm still as strong as I was 40 years ago when the Lord made that promise. He said, so now, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. I don't know if you are aware of this, but sometimes Sometimes confronting opposition is part of what makes your destiny sweeter. Sometimes facing giants is part of what makes your life more fulfilled. Hallelujah. I know there are a lot of believers who are scared of trials and tribulations and persecution. Sometimes part of what we call persecution in America is no persecution at all. And don't argue with me because I have lived it. I'm not just preaching to you from a book. We've lived in a part of the world where every waking moment there were threats to our lives. Several years ago, a little child, a girl, about a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old girl, brought the police to the front of my house in Kaduna, northern Nigeria, and pointed to the house and said, "The pastor in that house, I live with him and his family, and they abuse me." Police arrested me, my wife and our daughter, were out of the country for a few months. I was alone. Police arrested me and put me in jail. It was not the day of cell phones. There was no cell phone. I couldn't reach an attorney. And I'm talking Kaduna, Nigeria, where people say, you have rights. There are no rights. There are no rights. Your right is your life. Just pray that you can get out safely out of that place and get out to safety. Lock me in there. I'd never seen this child before in my life, ever. With my two eyes, I had never seen this child before in my life. She was there with her mother. Her mother had a little baby, and you know, way back there, they tie little children on their back. The baby was on the back of the mother, and this little, whether 12-year-old, I can't remember about how old this child was. So can you imagine the sympathy that this child and her mother and the little baby had? And even without hearing any story, without listening to anything, they say, yeah, and you know, they say, you see, this is how they do this. They call themselves pastors. I'm talking Kaduna, Nigeria. In 1996. See, this is how these pastors talk. See, you see them, they are preaching. They say they believe in Jesus. They love, they pray. Look at them, abusing little children. There's no attorney who could speak for me. Lock me in that jail. There was a criminal in there. And there were things there in the cell that I can't describe to you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit suddenly came upon me. I started ministering to that criminal. Gave his life to Christ in that cell. A day or so later, the stories began to change. Under interrogation, the stories that the child told started to, finally the police said there's something wrong with this child. They came back, pulled me out of jail, were appealing to me. I think you guys came back into the country in that period. I think maybe I couldn't even go to the airport to get them because I was in jail. So, well, they called something, they said there's persecution. You haven't seen persecution. You have not seen persecution. You have not seen anything close to it. And yet the Bible says the godly will face persecution. Persecution will not kill you. I know there are places in the world where it's really unfair and lives of innocent believers are at risk and persecution really hurts them. But for most of us living in the free world, persecution actually sometimes should strengthen our faith and our relationship with God. Should make us pray more. Should make us get in the Word more.
I remember sitting in that cell, wondering if I would ever come out of it. I mean, I couldn't even tell anyone. Nobody knew I was there. If they killed me in that cell and buried me, nobody would have ever known where I died. Because when the police came to my house in the morning, early in the morning, they arrested me, put me in cuffs, and took me to the cell. There was no cell phone. Nobody knew I was there. And these were all Muslims. All Muslims. Saying now we have a way to show that through one of these foolish pastors that they are liars. I mean, the only reason I was in that condition was because I was a pastor. Because the child went to the house and said that there's a until tomorrow. Even after the case got settled, of course, the case got settled, they apologized, whatever. They asked if I wanted to take them to court. I said, no, I don't want court. Just let me go home. I just want to go home. I just want to go home. Just get me out of here. And, so now I asked, but how did this child know our home? Till tomorrow, nobody has answered that question. How did this child know our home? How did the mother know our home? How did they know our home? To take the police to our home and point to that home and say, there's a pastor who lives there, he abused me. Till tomorrow, I haven't found that out. And this happened in 1996, December. But that strengthened my faith. That helped me see, wow, I must be really important. I must be really important. That's what I said to the devil when he started running crazy, started doing all these stupid things. I must be very important. You are very important. I say, you are very important. The mark of Christ is on your life. That's why I said there is no better thing, there is no greater thing than serving the Lord. Than serving the Lord. And then there are people who say, well, he even has an accent. He can't speak proper English. Yeah, that's true. But I'm still very anointed. Yes, that's true. Yes. The Lord answers my prayers. Yes. The blessing covenant is upon my life. Amen. And yours too. Yes. Some people say he doesn't even have good education, a lot of education. That's true. I didn't go further than masters. I wish I got PhD. So you can call me doctor. But let me tell you what. From today, I'm going to start calling myself doctor. Yes, you say, where do you get that PhD? From University of Abundant Life. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. You ought to be excited that you know the Lord. You ought to be excited that you are working with Jesus. There should be no dull moment in your life ever. Don't be an apologetic. Always sorry. I'm so sorry. I prayed in my office, my cubicle in the office. Oh, I'm so sorry. I disturbed you. Did not disturb them. You just prayed. Anybody can pray in the office. You and your classroom, you prayed. You should not be apologetic for that. You just prayed. You are about to start a board meeting in your office, in a corporate office, and you are the leader of that board meeting. You can pray. Say, I just want us to pray. Can we just pray? Don't be apologetic. The greatest thing you can do is to serve the Lord. Is to serve the Lord. Because when the Lord is your light, He is your salvation. Hallelujah. 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 Please sit down. Please sit down. Glory to God. I'm sure you know this is not the message I prepared to preach today. But this is the one I'm preaching. This is the one I have a release to preach. And I'm preaching it. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord will visit you.
Amen.
The Lord will do amazing things in your life.
Amen.
Just let him be your light.
Yes.
Just let the light of God dwell in your tabernacle. No matter what is going on, stand on Jesus' side.
Amen.
When everybody say, I don't know him, say, I know him. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. Don't become so psychedelic, so polished, so sophisticated that you can't say, Jesus is my Lord.
Hallelujah.
When the Lord is your light, is your salvation. Be bold about your faith. Be bold about what you believe. Go everywhere talking about Jesus. Say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. They say, so you are saying, you are telling us you are perfect. No, I didn't say I'm perfect. The Lord is still making me perfect. But I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Don't be silent about your faith. Everybody's coming out of the closet. How about you? I said, how about you? People are declaring who they are. This one said, well, I just found out I'm transgender. This one found out, I just found out I'm bisexual. I just found out I am, yeah, okay. Good for you. Find out whatever, you know, whatever. I have nothing to say about it because everything is politics. Now, this is not politics for me. But I believe in Jesus. That's all I have to say about it. Hallelujah. I believe in Jesus. If you can come out of the closet and tell us what you've discovered, I certainly can come out of the closet and tell you, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. You should be able to tell people about your faith. You should be able to tell the world what you believe. Say, I serve a living God. I serve a living God. My God is alive and well. My God is alive. My God is not dead. Hallelujah. 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 And when you do those things, you are opening up the door. You are giving God an opportunity. You are giving him an opportunity to manifest himself in your life. Don't just be on fire when you are doing praise and worship. Don't just be on fire when the word of God is being preached. Be on fire everywhere. Be on fire. Be a witness for Jesus. Everywhere. Everywhere. Hallelujah. One time, just about 3 or 4 years, sit down. I'm going to wrap this up in a minute so we can take communion. Maybe about 4 or so years ago. I've told you this story before. We were doing evangelism. I think that's what it's called. Took tracks to some of the neighboring places. And there's a street not too far from here, next to Costco. I was on that street, going house to house, and doing evangelism, and dropping tracks, and dropping cards. And the next thing I knew, police car pulled up behind me. He said, first I seen the police car behind my car, because my car was parked somewhere in the middle of the street somewhere. And was not the kind of a car that someone should be driving who is walking on the street and distributing cards in houses. So I seen the police car behind my car, taking the license, taking registration, taking everything, checking everything out. But I just kept going. And the next thing, police came to me. He stopped me. He said, So he said, someone called. He said, one of the residents on this street called that there's a black man walking from house to house. And that he's driving a Mercedes Benz. He parked it. I said, that's me. You got it. That's me. Right me. Right here. That's me. Asked me a few questions. They were very nice. They were really nice. I mean, I tell you, we've been so blessed. I mean, he said, sorry, I didn't want to do it, but, you know, they put in a call. We had to come. It's our obligation. And, you know, got my information and everything. I gave him my business card.
Once I told him it was Abundant Life. Oh, he said, I know the church. He described it. I said, yep, that's our church. We became friends. Serving the Lord is not a burden. There are some of us who have never told anybody about Jesus. People just know we are nice. They know we are kind. They know we are not mean-spirited like most people. But we've never told them, the reason I am this way is because of Jesus. We're bought into the lie in the community, in the society. The lie that says, you know, if you keep your faith to yourself, you are being respectful of other people's faith. That's not true. We are called to preach the gospel. Our faith, part of our faith is preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And COVID hasn't changed that. Many of you are on social media every week, talking about this and that and this politics, this party, this, that. Why don't you just take a break for a week and just talk about Jesus? Every day that week. Just put out there on social media what Jesus has done for you.
Amen.
And not platitudes, not generalities, and no, ambiguities. Just put it out there. Do you know 5 years? Like I'm preaching to you right now. Like I'm preaching to you right now. In 1997, 1996, December, Satan used people to put me in jail. Jesus brought me out.
Amen.
Like I'm preaching to you right now. Because the only reason I'm standing out here before you today, Jesus brought me out. No attorney argued my case. I didn't know any government representative. No senator called on my behalf. I didn't even know any senator. And if I knew any senator, they would probably be allergies and Muslims. They would probably never even try to help me. Who brought me out of jail?
Jesus.
Just tell what the Lord has done for you. What has he done for you? I used to deal with depression. Jesus delivered me. Let's put it out there. I was so hopeless. I didn't know if I had a future. But look at my life today, what the Lord has done for me. All of that didn't happen because of my goodness, my education. Jesus did that for me. Jesus did that for me. That's why the Psalms are so powerful. The Psalms are testimonies of what the Lord did in the lives of people. Psalmist said, he took my feet from out of the miry clay and put it on the rock to stay. I'm who I am because of Jesus. And let me tell you what many believers don't know. Your protection is in your confession. Your protection is in your profession. There are arrows that are being fired at you and your family from different areas, but they will never be able to bring you down because of your profession. Your protection is your profession. There are places where decisions are being made to take away some of your privileges and your favors, but because of your profession in the name of Jesus, you will never be touched. They will never succeed. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies, even the wicked, came up against me to devour my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Your profession is your protection. The more you talk about Jesus,
The more you talk about what Jesus has done for you, the more you talk about it. Don't take so much time talking about all these irrelevant things, and then when it comes to talking about Jesus, you become so sophisticated. The more you talk about Jesus, the more you talk about what the Lord has done for you, the more you shine your light, the more you redirect people to the Lord, to let them see that He's responsible for everything going on in your life, the more the blessings of God flow in your life. The more the blessings of God flow in your life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Did you get something from this service today? That's not the message I prepared, but that's the one I preached. Hallelujah. I feel good preaching it too. I feel good, very good preaching it. Hallelujah. And I pray that the Lord will perfect everything that concerns you. The Lord will do an amazing work in your life. The Lord will finish everything that is started in you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Many of you know God is never involved in uncompleted projects. He's never involved in unfinished matters. The Lord will complete and He will perfect everything that concerns you. Just go everywhere talking about Jesus. Let the world know what He's done for you. That songwriter said, when I think about Jesus and what He's done for me, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't keep myself from screaming about it. Can't keep myself from shouting about it, singing about it. When you think what Jesus has done for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I know I need to close the service. I just can't help myself. I just feel the presence of God so strong. Just feel the presence of God so strong. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. He didn't just die on the cross, but He made our lives beautiful. He made our lives beautiful. He made our lives beautiful. He took us and He made something beautiful out of our lives. Would you stand to your feet? As we get ready to take communion. Just help me wherever you are. Just help me bless His name. Say, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. I want you to reflect and think about three things that He's done for you. And thank Him, Lord, thank you for doing that for me. Thank you, Lord, 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 for doing that for me. Wherever you are at home, wherever you are, just go ahead and thank God for Jesus. Right there, some of you are on our social media feed. Just put something out there, what the Lord did for you. Thank you, Jesus, you did this for me. Thank you, Jesus, you did this for me. Thank you, Jesus, you did this for me. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. It's because of Jesus that our lives are so sweet. It's because of Jesus our lives are so blessed. It's because of Jesus our lives are so perfected. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus.